This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
I'm Damon Bolte, host of The Speakeasy. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Oh, it's Wolfman Jack coming to you live from Bushwick.
Is it? Is it? I'm sorry, it's Leonard Cohen from Roberta's Pizza. No, it's Johnny Most of the Boston Celtics. Havlicek stole the ball. Actually, believe it or not, it is actually Crazy Legs Conti, co-host of Eating Disorder.
Surviving.
Now, I'm going to give it to you. My co-host here, the Reverend Spiro, welcome.
I'm right here.
You have a pop quiz. Is my voice shattered, gone, broken because A, I ate 19 and a half hot dogs and buns and dunked the buns in rosé at the July 4th Nathan's contest. B, I did excessive media verbally for the Huffington Post Weird News Division and Darren Revelle's Periscope feed. C, I alternated between an actual sort of 7-inch cigar and Oddfellows Sam Mason custom ice cream flavor, which was whiskey, cigar, lobster, ice cream, okay. Or D, all of the above.
All of the above.
All of the above. You are correct. You now have a combined 380 on your SATs. We've got sound effects.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Do you know why we have sound effects? Because tonight's guest engineer is a head honcho at Heritage Radio. It's Jack. We're welcoming Jack.
What's up, Jack? How are you, man?
Hello.
Yes. Because normally we have Liz, and Liz is on the defensive mode. She's like, if they order too many orders of bread and butter, it's going to be all over the studio, meat platters on the ceiling. But speaking of meat platters, it's an exciting episode. Now, what did you do for July 4th, Rev?
I didn't do shit. I went to I went to Long Island City.
Yes.
The reason I went to Long Island City
LIC.
Flea market. And we were actually going out there thinking, oh, it's going to be like every other flea market in every other fucking hipster neighborhood.
Right.
And there's going to be some furniture. We're looking for a bench.
A bench.
This is what was there. Food mm-hmm. and Queens t-shirts.
Well.
That's all that
so
was
So you
there.
Were in heaven. You were in paradise.
Did you build a bench out of Queens t-shirts? I had already eaten, right? And I didn't
you
want
already
to.
Own.
I already have 19 Queens t-shirts.
Yeah, but these are the Adam Lambert
Queens
t-shirts.
No. The Sacha Baron Cohen? I would have walked away with a stool if someone had made a stool. There was nothing there.
So what you're saying is you are a true American. You went to Long Island City and you looked for a red, white, blue stool.
No, not a red, white, blue stool. I just wanted any fucking stool.
What an American.
Yeah.
That's how one of the founding fathers ended up on the $2 bill. Just like, what did you guys do? Well, we drafted the Declaration of Independence. What
and we looked
doing?
For a stool.
I was out looking for furniture. Hamilton, you're on the $2 bill. Well, I was out at Coney. It was a great day.
Awesome.
It was a great contest. Joey Jaws Chestnut, my heart and stomach go out to him. 8-time champion, loses to Matt Megatoad Stoney. It was the belch heard round the world.
Actually, I have a problem with the whole, not a problem with, but, yes. but if you read the tweets
yes.
and the Facebook comments afterwards, it was just like, oh, another foreigner fucking takes it from, are you fucking kidding me? The kid's American.
He lives in San Jose. He lives in Joey's hometown, but this always happens.
He lives in Joey's hometown.
Yes.
I know.
Mickey Sudo on the women, 2-time champ at Sonya.
The racism
Thomas.
That came out of that?
Of course.
Are you kidding me?
Protesting, too. The same group from Roofest.
Protesting.
Unfortunately.
Westboro.
Let's focus on the after party. Professor Tom's, big shout out to them.
Yeah.
It is a Boston bar in New York. I know you don't like that, but they put on a great after party. If you think competitors drool a lot at the contest, they drool at the after party. And then that ice cream flavor was real. So Sam Mason, I met with him many times. Oddfellows is out on Kent and North 3rd, and they have one in Manhattan on 4th Street.
And they make some good shit.
I said, I want my ideal flavor, the one bite after too much hot dogs and rosé. I want all these things combined. Lobster milk richness giving way.
What the fuck is lobster milk? There's no lobster milk.
Yes, because
you can't milk a lobster. Lobsters don't have tits.
He found a way. And then it gave way to a peaty whiskey, and it finished with a carcinogenic kind of throat closing. Yeah, because I gave him Cal Oli Distiller Series from the island of Islay. And then your throat closes up as if you'd smoked three packs. So one guy got cut off at the bar. He had seconds of the whiskey ice cream. And Nella Zisser from New Zealand did an ice cream eat-off against Michelle Lescamo. Lescamo, because her stomach has 13 ways to digest hot dogs.
Is she a cow?
Is she a cow? That is a good segue, Ravel.
Cows have multiple stomachs. They have multiple stomachs.
If you don't know about cows, and if you don't know about where our food comes from, and if you were a child, or you have an inner child, or you have a childlike existence. Now, quick announcement. Our guest tonight is not 6-year-old Eli, who is in studio. We clearly need sponsors for eating disorders, so I don't have to do double duty and get paid by babysitting. But Eli only eats three things: pancakes, chicken fingers, and pizza with the cheese off and sweets. Not true. I hear a voice in the background. But we have in studio, and we do visual radio, as you know. Yes. We have a kid's book for adults, an adult book for kids. It is an entire book with no words. It is called Animals We Eat, and it's by Burns Rothschild with illustrations by Chris Smith.
Smitty.
And they are both in studio. So welcome.
Hello, thank you.
Smitty. And Burns Rothschild, and before the show started, Rev was like, where is your name from?
No, I mean, that's the name. That should be like a fancy caramel name. It should be the name of an after-dinner mint. It should be the name of some guy with a curly mustache and a monocle who goes, so those Tories.
Well, for those listening at home who Burns does not look like a guy with a monocle.
Not even close.
Perhaps the opposite end of the spectrum.
I'm the child of self-absorbed hippies.
All right. Huh. A vibrant, beautiful woman in a straw fedora. Yes. Let's go with that. No monocle.
Oh, my God.
No, but he's not bad looking either. You know, not really my style, but hey. Now, talk to us about... Now, you just got this off the printing press pretty recently.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. We just got these in hand. Been a few years in the making, and then we decided to self-publish, and then... They were literally on a slow boat from China for a few months.
You know what's amazing, though? I would not have guessed that this was self-published, because this is, without a doubt, I'm thinking back into my childhood history, and I cannot think of a book that is this well-made, well-packaged,
it's absolutely
beautiful. The colors are stunning.
Board book.
The illustrations are amazing. I think
that's because it was self-published.
Okay. Oh, I like.
Should we give a shout-out to the who printed it?
Yes, please.
Yeah,
please.
Let's do it.
PrintNinja.com does a great job of printing wonderful children's books.
Really? So it was on a slow boat from Japan, then. The ninjas?
No, weird. Yeah, Chinese ninjas.
They're
actually a
company from Portland, Oregon.
We like Portland, Oregon.
Let's give a shout-out to Portland, Oregon.
Yes, now.
Hey, okay. Our check went to a company in the USA. What they did with our money, who knows?
Well, do you think Portland, Oregon is now the home of great kids' books? Because I'm thinking of the Wildwood series by the band The Decemberists. Are you guys familiar with that?
Not at all.
No,
it's about
a
girl, Prue, in the impassable wilderness. It's not for little kids. It's young adult. Mm. But it's beautiful illustrations like this. And let's get into the illustrations. Eli, do you have anything to say about the book? Do you want to come over here? Ah, that was the best scream I could do. Eli
opened the book and said, cows eat hamburgers.
Yes. So the first page is a beautiful picture of a Holstein or an Angus cow with a very, I wouldn't call it a contented, it's a serene expression, but slightly pensive. And next to it is a picture of a hamburger. And I did, the first meal I had after July 4th was at PJ Clark. So I did have a burger that looked like this last night. No lettuce, but I did have the bread and butter pickles. Eli, what did you say?
Cows eat hamburgers.
I don't think that was the purpose
of
the book.
He's not reading
That's
it.
That's countableism.
Technically,
that'll be the next book, What Animals Eat.
He may have been holding it upside down.
Yeah.
But so there's a cow, a hamburger. There is a porcine pig, a babe-like George Miller pig. And then on the next page, there's a beautiful cast iron pan, perhaps from New Orleans, with three slices of artisanal single-origin bacon, perhaps ordered from HeritageRadio.com's bacon package. There's a goose and a well-trussed goose.
I'm just laughing because Eli's beating the fuck out of fucking crazy.
I brought some stuffed animals, and I believe I could tell by the hits this is Crazy Monkey that's hitting me in the head, right?
Oh, there we go. Yeah.
All right. There's a shrimp.
No, Crazy Monkey's coming.
Oh, no.
There you go.
Crazy Monkey. There's a shrimp and some shrimp cocktail. And I'm not gonna go any further. Are you, listening
spoilers,
audience?
Spoilers, come on.
Listening audience, are you getting what we're saying here? Animals we eat. How did you? What? How did we come up with the book?
It all started with the hot dog, which I guess you are a professional.
Usually, it all ends with the hot dog, but fair enough.
I have seen plenty of friends shoving hot dogs down their kids' throats and begging them to take one more bite.
But you're a vegetarian.
I'm a vegetarian.
Okay.
So the thought of a hot dog is sort of repulsive anyway. But then to beg your kid to eat something that's not actually food.
It's a food-like product.
Well, it's a food-like product. If you like mechanically separated meat.
So let's see, let's go. Does your knowledge of the hot dog begin and end with Upton Sinclair's The Jungle?
Oh.
Because hot dog processing has come a long way since 1905 and Chicago.
So now we have
so in 2000 in 2004 our government said you can only have 20% unidentifiable meat in the hot dog from now on.
Well, there was,
so before 2004, who knows what was in there? But I don't even care. I just want the kid to know that at the petting zoo, whatever animal they're petting is the same thing that their parent is shoving down their throat.
Okay, well, that's fair enough.
Besides the hot dog, which I don't think is at the petting zoo.
Not only is that fair enough, that's something we have lost as a culture in regards to there are millions of children on this planet who have no clue that the burger they're getting at McDonald's is the cow.
Yes, there's
including
an enormous...
Including Eli, who thinks that the cow eats the hamburger.
I know,
awesome!
I know.
Accountabilism!
He might be correct in that's how we got hoof and mouth disease, right? Entirely wrong. He's just on the wrong side.
No,
he's
got mad Eli going on
he's
here.
Supporting
GMO.
There
he goes. Okay.
All right. I can see him winding up.
He's hitting you with a horse and a monkey, two animals that other countries eat, but we refuse to eat
them. I know,
and
horse is delicious. Sorry. I've had it twice as delicious. I am being beaten with animals. I would say we can disagree on the hot dog.
And what's the disagreement?
Well, because I'm one of the few civilians who's toured FS Specialty Group that used to make Nathan's hot dogs. I toured the factory. I was shown everything. The Oz pulled behind the curtain, and it was the most professional, clean food processing facility you could imagine with real ingredients.
And Nathan's does have a stamp, 100% beef.
Yes, and there was a pallet of beef and a pallet of spices, and it was identifiably beef.
Yes, and that's one of the companies that you should buy when you buy hot dogs.
Yes.
But tell me.
Yes.
Did it go from gray to pink?
It did not. It went, the closest it came was almost a sea urchin-like texture. But the coloration stayed the same until it got cellulose for the skinless. Okay, natural casing done by hand, and that was on the second floor. And then it goes up, and it gets the finishing on the third floor, beautiful view of Chicago, and comes down. And that was the only color
change. Oh, my God,
you're
the Star Trek nerd of fucking hot dogs.
Yes.
Holy shit.
They did not add food coloring?
They did not add food coloring.
Did they add nitrates?
No. In fact, and now John Morrell is the new hot dog maker. I haven't toured their factory, but they were asked to remove gluten. They were asked. They were on board early with what legislation has made a lot of companies do, which is to remove the additives and food coloring.
Wow.
But I will agree with you if we're talking about New Jersey pork roll. New Jersey pork roll is...
Which he had to eat the other night.
I had a competition for pork roll. Pork roll,
also known as Taylor ham.
Taylor ham, scrapple. I think it's the foie gras of dog food. It's not really good for human consumption.
Well, I'll tell you, the reason why we didn't have hot dogs, in my opinion, Chris, you can correct me if I'm wrong, in animals we eat is because we weren't sure which animal we should.
I could solve
that. No, that's exactly true. It's
man, bear, pig.
No, it's a cockatrice. It's a two-legged dragon.
Plus, you could have
roots.
A tofu dog. You could have turkey dog.
Chimera of food.
Our next book is going to be Hot Dog.
Hot Dog.
It's just going to be called Hot Dog.
I'm in.
Hold on. We haven't gotten Chris's point of view.
Yes, Chris, talk.
We've got a few minutes in this.
Oh, well, definitely. I did a beautiful picture of a hot dog with mustard, no ketchup.
Right.
But no, we were, who knows what animal that is.
Okay.
But I will also say, I saw an article
today. But you're a carnivore.
Oh, wait, yes, I'm totally carnivore. Okay. I will eat all sorts of meat. I don't eat insects. And then this, I want to talk about this article I saw today where McDonald's is allowed to put a certain amount of worms in their hamburgers.
Yeah, we know. We eat insects on this show. Yeah. We eat worms. We eat crickets.
Honestly, no, but I don't give a shit. Just, you know, when you're eating McDonald's hamburgers, you're eating McDonald's worm burgers.
Well, according to the guy who was on our show, who was from the Museum of Natural History, he said, if we do not start eating insects and algae and a bunch of other types of, you know, food that
solvent
takes,
green.
Well, no, it takes, the thing is, algae and or insects take feet to grow. Beef and pork take miles
that's
to grow.
That's absolutely great. And, you go ahead and eat those little critters. But the worms that Chris is talking about came magically into the factory. They were not farmed.
I crave fast food once every 6 months.
But okay.
And it's like being blackout drunk and sleeping with somebody and waking up in the morning and you're like, what have I done to the temple that is my body?
Usually on a road trip, I'll hit the fast food. That's the only time. But
No, but I mean, from the meat standpoint, I mean, what's your experience with meat? We got 2 minutes to go in this segment.
Oh, no, I mean, I do believe that we should understand what we're eating and where it's coming from, and you know, versus the mass market agriculture. You know, what's the word for mass market meat? Like, I'd rather know that I'm eating the pig that came from the farm 150 miles away.
Okay.
Ideally, I can't always afford that, but you know.
Well, let me ask you this. This is me and my older brother always had this thing. When we were kids, we grew up. Well, not grew up. We did our summers on our grand uncle's farm in Greece, and we learned how to butcher, and we learned how to slaughter. We learned, you know, how to twist a chicken.
Not just
snack
to each other, but
no. But that happens when we just hang out.
Yes.
All right. But we learned how to kill an animal that we were hanging out with 5 seconds ago. Ooh. Right, and then what to do with it, and how to gut it, and all
that.
And
that's where America's lacking.
Yeah, so you were given
the best Thanksgiving ever.
Respect for the animal.
But well, it wasn't just the respect; it was also the fact that it's fucking gross.
All right.
No, I was just saying the best Thanksgiving I ever had was in a cabin in the mountains of outside of Boulder, and we were hanging out with the turkey in the morning, and then we ate it in the afternoon, and we made ice. We hand grown the ice cream and everything, but it was the best tasting turkey.
From start to finish, no factory involved.
Yeah.
Did you name the turkey before?
I did not. It might have had a name.
Detached.
Yeah. Right, but, you know, we were hanging around with it, you know.
All right.
Saw it walking around, which
when
is
when we come back for eating disorder.
It was dude.
Dude, that turkey.
When we return after a quick break, Animals We Eat, Burns, Rothschild, and Smitty in studio, a kid's book for an adult book for kids, a book for anyone who eats, which is everyone, when we come back.
The break song here is called Jump Rope by the Gingerlees. We're going to be right back on Eating Disorder.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
Hi, how are you? My name is Andrew WK. They say when things are very delicious, it must be Heritage Radio.
Yes, indeed. Speaking of deliciousness, we were just talking about Thanksgiving. And one of the things that's come out of this show, which is Eating Disorder on the HeritageRadioNetwork.org with the Reverend Spiro, myself, Crazy Legs Conti, we are joined in studio by Animals We Eat authors and illustrators, Burns Rothschild and Smitty, Chris Smith. mention Thanksgiving really quick. Our sponsor is Heritage Radio, and I did have a Heritage turkey, and Patrick, who runs Heritage USA Foods, was on our show. He has the Carnivore's Manifesto, which says eat responsibly, and to keep these animals alive, you got to eat them. That aside, this book is genius. So I've opened in the middle of the book of Animals We Eat, and I'm going to find out where it's sold, and I'm going to buy copies for all my competitive eating friends and casual diners. There's a lamb, a baby lamb. To the right are lamb chops with a nice sprig of thyme, I guess. There's a cephalopod known as a squid. Maybe not a giant squid, but a fair-sized squid.
You were totally
calamari.
Like, you're doing the spoiler, man.
Well, I'm not going to do it all. Okay. Pizza has just arrived. I don't know what animals are on the pizza.
Do you give away the money shot at the end or not?
And then there's a chicken, a rooster-like chicken with a cock's comb. And then there is a and then there's a bucket of chicken in the right amount of parts. It looks, or maybe it looks like too many parts for that chicken. But yeah. Talk to us about where people can find Animals We Eat. Before Burns rips me one.
Actually,
I can see
before that, though, I want to know, okay, the book has no words. I mean...
Oh, yeah. So how do you talk about a picture book on a radio show?
No. I mean, it's... No, I get it. I get it.
It speaks right for itself.
Boom.
Yeah, it really does. But
I think the thing is, you know, being a vegetarian and a carnivore coming together, I like to say that there's no dogma involved. It's more just it's a visual look at, hey, this is what's going on. I'm not judging you. I'm not saying anything.
But this is what your food. This is where what your food's the animal from. Turned into.
Right. And they only eat dogma in South Korea. But
so
that didn't make the book either. But maybe for the foreign translation.
Next, some places they eat cadma.
The next book will be Animals Americans Don't Eat.
All right. I've eaten all of those, sadly. All right. So, but where can people get it?
Well, actually, we're happy to announce that, first off, we're in the Flying Squirrel Kids Store in Greenpoint.
Woo-hoo.
And then we just got picked up by the Word Bookstore, which is also in Greenpoint and in Jersey City.
Awesome place.
And then the weekend of July 18th and 19th, they're doing an event. It's a food-related event, which I'm trying to find the name of, but I can't right now. But it's July 18th and 19th. It's called Project Eats, and it's all food-related vendors and stuff, so we'll be there.
Is there a website you guys have?
AnimalsWeEat.com.
AnimalsWeEat.com. Pretty easy to remember, and that'll keep people updated. Yep. Word Bookstore, anything in Greenpoint is great. Word I've been to for Dan Pashman's book, which was Eat More Better. And
the Word's awesome. Yeah,
I don't know how you feel about donuts, but Peter Pan Donuts is near there.
Yep. And then also, actually, Greenpointers.com. They're a very, very Greenpoint-centric website,
cool.
as you would think. You'd think. They're doing their summer market on the 19th, and we'll be setting up there.
AnimalsWeEat.com. Can we order the book directly from
you
at the site?
Cool.
Yep. Excellent.
Yep.
But Burns had some questions.
We're out of time here. I'm just kidding.
But are you a hot dog eater? Or are you a?
I am contractually obligated to say that I eat only Nathan's hot dogs. the truth is, as a major league eater for 14 years, certain foods I only eat in competition. Every year before the 4th, I head out to Coney Island and I eat 1 3/4 hot dogs. That's the exact amount a casual diner should eat. If you eat to the finish of the second one, you get a little garlic. Burp that stays with you.
But so what's the time frame?
In 10 minutes in competition.
10 minutes, and what's the record?
The record is 69 hot dogs and buns.
69.
And buns. And buns in 10 minutes. What's your hot dog record, Eli?
Two.
All right.
Do you put condiments on those?
There is no time in competitive eating for condiments.
Yeah, so then I just am wondering about the throw up factor. You have
we don't use
down.
The T word. Oh. And think of it this way.
Barf? There's I'm
only
from the
80s. No B word, no B urge, urges, bulimia, swallowing,
what do we call
reversal
it?
Of fortune. Elvis has left the building. A lot of euphemisms. But here's the deal. There's only prize money to the top 5 places. We haven't found a sponsor to pick up 6 through 15.
They should weigh the vomit.
We don't vomit. We keep it down. That's my trophy.
Some people
No. I've been a pro eater for 14 years. I've had 2 reversals of fortune. A matzo ball overtime, where it was the sinkers, not the floaters. And... unfortunately, fake key lime pie in
fake?
Panama City.
What?
It wasn't made from real key limes.
Yeah,
it was all sugar.
You should sue.
I should, because it was an offshore betting company sponsored it. I was a 35-year-old man on spring break, and I had a layover in Orlando heading back to New York, and I am now permanently banned from the Orlando airport. There is a hazmat suit.
Like,
do you want, honestly, do you want the true story about that? You seem so interested in it.
I love it.
I will give eating disorder this never-before-told story. the key lime pie, because it wasn't really good key lime pie like Steve's or anything down in the Keys, it really bound me up. But it was so much, it was both the powder keg effect where I couldn't let it release, and it was just forcing me down. It was like Frodo wearing the ring, but the ring was 5.5 key lime pies.
When it came up, was it projectile?
Here was the problem.
What's going on?
I'm hunched over from Panama City to Orlando. In Orlando, I go to the men's room, and I'm like, what am I? I have to get rid of this. So what do? I'm like, I'm going to take a dump, and I'm going to turn around and smell my dump and look at it, and I'll throw up. I take a dump, automatic flush toilet. Goes right down.
Oh,
I'm
no!
like, come on, man. My roommate, Tim Eater X Janus, comes in. He's like, we're boarding. We're leaving now. I'm like, you're going to leave without me. He's like, I'll be right back. He brought me 1.5 liters of Perrier, which I chugged, which then went down. It was like a Nebuchadnezzar of pressure. The cork exploded. I don't even think any of it.
You shot a load of
it was literally, it looked like Hostel 4, Key Lime Pie Massacre. It was like Linda Blair. It would have been, he would have been like, that's what we should have done in the Escazist.
Okay, wait, back up for a second.
Yeah. Oh, really? Was backed up for a second. That's why I had to get rid of the key lime pie.
On a normal day, you can look at your dump and then vomit. So you must vomit every day.
That was
day.
My first attempt. No. That was your idea.
That was your master plan.
I hadn't been in that situation before. So that was what I went
with. Yeah, but come on. Don't you look at your shit every day?
Not really. No, it doesn't. Once I've eaten, digested, it's gone through my lower intestine. To me, it's out.
Are you kidding me? You just wipe and walk.
The whole point of wiping is the toilet paper goes on top. You don't see it.
To be completely honest, sadly, you look at it.
You see how well you did. Come on.
No, how well you did. As a competitive eater, the Brown Trout Club holds no joy anymore. I forget what it's like to eat a certain food until the next day, and if you eat 100 chicken wings in 10 minutes, the next day you have the spats. It's like a machine gun fire going off. I don't need to think about it. I'm sponsored by Worldwide Bidet, but to be honest, it's not really one I plug.
And there's my poop.
There it is. All right.
Always trying
but
to get some poop in.
Kids books.
All right.
The state of affairs of kids books, because I will also give you an exclusive. I have written 3, and I have had friends who are illustrating them. But what do I do? Do you feel the independent path of publishing is the way to go?
Well, it's like making a movie. You have complete control.
Okay.
We can do what we want.
Honestly, this book that I'm holding in my hands, Animals We Eat, looks better than anything I've ever seen.
Beautiful.
I like Hervé Lillet's Press Here, which has words and pictures and colors. But other than that, in the publishing world, and I don't mean to disparage kids books. Eli brought 3 kids books and the Rachel Dratch autobiography. Oh, that's fine. But Eli, do you want to show them the books?
Yes.
All right, show them the books real quick.
I'm a fan of some of these modern, like, kids books for adults or adults books for kids, like, you know, Go the Fuck to Sleep or,
Mix Me a Drink.
Mix Me a Drink. So I feel this might fit into that.
Eli, what's the first book?
You got to come to the book.
Blue Coyote, and this is a trickster tale from the American Southwest. So this one's actually kind of nice in that it's got a little Native American heritage, but the book itself does not quite look as beautiful as yours, I have to say. And I'm not going to disparage all the books, but he brought a Dr. Seuss, and what's the third one there?
Here's the thing. We were just talking about, like, there's all types of books for kids these days. What is my body like? What does this mean? What does that mean? But the thing that I love about this is this: if you're a kid whose parents are vegetarians and you're going to school and you're surrounded by kids who are not vegetarians, you're going to have questions. Now, at the same time, if you're carnivores and you're in a community, say Park Slope or some parts of Manhattan, where 90% of your friends are vegan or vegetarian, you're going to have some questions. We write about everything, but, like, food is a culture. These are the kinds of things that my friend's kid has diabetes and celiac. All right, he was born with both. And, I mean, he's like 6. He's not faking the celiac, which, that's another big thing. But, yeah. This kid can barely eat shit. Like, he can barely eat anything. Okay? And they've done the best job explaining nutrition from a scientific standpoint in regards to like, okay, kid, listen, we love you. We want you to enjoy your food. But if you don't do this, you're going to die because they have no choice but to do it. You know, so these are the kind of things that I think that this is pretty awesome about. From a standpoint, it's, look, as beautiful as it is, there's a shrimp. It's dead. It's cocktail. It's stark.
Right. Yeah.
But I love that.
But
I
do
love
you feel,
it.
Do you see the resonance when people read the book, when kids read the book? Have you experienced it yet?
My sister has two kids, and we showed her the prototype a couple years ago when we were first doing this, and she's like, yeah, Bethany was asking just this question the other day. So, mm-hmm. I think it will help parents. You know, they wonder where their turkey sandwich comes from.
Right. Yeah. I think most parents are horrified that their kid knows what they're eating, but from a vegetarian standpoint, I would like them to be responsible eaters and grow up knowing where their food comes from.
Well, yeah, I tend to believe that there's a lack of education in regards to where our food comes from.
Especially so much of our food is so overly processed.
Packaged.
They're just like chicken nugget. What is that? That's, some brown thing.
It's better now. I mean, remember, I think everybody in this room grew up during the, Underwood Red Devil Ham era, where
liverwurst. What
yeah,
is that?
Liverwurst.
You used to love liverwurst.
Yep. I had a lot of liverwurst.
Yeah.
Eli, what you could say it now? What's the third book?
The last book is If I Built a Car.
If I Built a Car, which is nice because it puts it in the hands of the kids, and Animals We Eat also puts it in the hands of the kids. Eli, can you identify? This might be a tough one. I'm going to give you let's give you the easy one first. What is that there?
A fish.
And what did it become? Do you know what that is?
No.
That is sushi.
Sushi,
yeah, that's raw fish and rice. But this one, do you know
I think we did try to play to the Park Slope crowd a little bit with the
snail. And what is this on the plate next to the snail? Come on, French food. You're out with your buddies drinking some Chablis. It is escargot. We are not going to tell you the last page of the book. You have to buy Animals We Eat because the whole book is
that's
genius.
That's the money shot.
Yes,
it's
the money shot.
The last page
no.
is super genius.
It's so centerfold, but there is a money shot.
No. 6-year-old.
It might be scream time right
yeah,
now.
Yeah. It is past his bedtime. All right, let's... As we start to wrap up, do you have other projects? Do you have other ways for people to get in touch with you? Do you have other dreams and hopes?
Well, my artist website is subtexture.com, and I'm in an art show tomorrow night at Arlene's Grocery. We're 10 Arlene's. Great artists, and that'll be up for the next month, but cool. Please stop by for happy hour
okay.
tomorrow night.
Yeah, cool. And yourself?
If you want to get in touch with me, info@animalsweeat.com.
Excellent.
Oh, and I guess we have a Facebook page, facebook.com/animalsweeat.
Woohoo.
Nice.
So. I guess. I don't know. Yeah.
And we've been posting some interesting articles.
It's pinned to the top of our Facebook page.
Okay. There you go. No, because we didn't cover this, but the whole idea of like high-tech meat and protein being made in the laboratory versus growing, having animals in a farm and producing methane.
But there's plenty of protein that already exists.
Well, part of it, but at the same time, it's the difference. Right now, fish is a big issue because there's farmed fish and there's line caught or what.
Oh, I heard tilapia is really horrible for you.
Well, the jury is out on fish as to which is the best way to do
right.
it. Like whether it's better to farm it or it's better to catch it.
Well, let's go with an easier one. Burns, it seems like you're slightly critical of my profession of competitive eating.
Yes.
Now, kale used to be the biggest kale orderer was Arby's to be used as garnish in the free fixings. Yep. It's now a superfood. Would you support Major League Eating a 6-minute all-you-can-eat kale contest so you could proclaim whoever eats the most is the healthiest human on earth?
Well, from a moral standpoint, I would.
Okay.
But from an ethical standpoint, I wouldn't.
Fair enough.
Do you realize how hard it is to eat kale?
All right. Then I'm going to ask Burns. I'm going to ask Burns
it's
and
like
Smitty.
Eating green leather.
I ate sea kelp. I ate sea kelp out of Coney. It might have been a recycled bag, actually. I ate something out of Coney Island the other day.
That's not good for you.
Yeah.
Look, I don't give a shit what you do.
Yes.
I don't want my body to be a graveyard
fair
for
enough,
animals.
Fair enough. Can I pitch you on the next book I want you to make?
Oh, yeah. Let's do
where
it.
Where marshmallows come from.
Oh.
Because they are a plant, right?
They're from marsh.
But then they go into a factory. Don't give it away. Just,
but they're mellow.
Oh, yeah.
I'll pre-order the book.
Let's
now.
Do it.
All right. Well, anyway, for eating
disorder. I want to come back here every week.
You come back every Monday. Except I don't know what's in the pizza box from Roberta's. I'm hoping.
Well, she didn't.
I'm not eating.
It's or tofu or something.
That's why we're not going to eat meat.
But anyway, it's animals we eat, animalsweet.com. I usually am not incredibly sincere. I am tremendously sincere that I love this book, and I really like the idea and the art, and I love the dialogue. So, Smitty, Chris Smith, and Burns Rothschild, please stay in touch with us for Eating Disorder. I am Crazy Legs Conti.
I am the Rev Spiro.
We will see you when we finally know what animals we eat.
Whoop.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.